Mother's Day is a wonderfully warm, sweet source of comfort and devotion to many. Unfortunately, also a source of heartache to some. Lots of different attitudes and views towards Mother's Day. My own mother passed away in 1984, so it's been a few years. And it is always interesting to hear the stories of how people feel about their moms and approach their moms. Like I said, for some, it's this wonderful day of love and compassion and concern. All the restaurants are full. So, and yet for others, just a continuing reminder of heartache and distress because things are not good. So, whatever your approach to Mother's Day is, I pray that this morning as we look at the Scripture, we're going to take a look at a prayer that a childless woman gave to God after the birth of her son, after many years of trying to bear children and bearing the shame and disgrace in her culture of being barren. God finally hears her prayer and gives her a child. And here's the prayer that she gave. Please turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. And we're going to look at Hannah's prayer. And then Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exults in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth speaks boldly against my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one beside you, nor is there any rock like our God. Boast no more so very proudly. Do not let arrogance come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and with him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are shattered, but the feeble gird on strength. Those who were full hire themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry cease to hunger. Even the barren gives birth to seven, but she who has many children languishes. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and rich. He brings low. He also exalts. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with nobles and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he set the world on them. He keeps the feet of his godly ones, but the wicked ones are silenced in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. Those who contend with the Lord will be shattered. Against them he will thunder in the heavens. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth, and he will give strength to his king, and will exalt the horn of his anointed." Nowhere in there does she say, "Oh God, thank you for my precious little baby." Nor does she ooh and goo about all the mushy things that our culture would teach us to expect from a new mother. Instead, she talks about her relationship with the Lord. One of the most important people in developing faith and devotion to God is the example of our mothers. I don't know how your mother taught you about life and the things that life concurs. The story is told that Susanna Wesley was the mother of 17 children, including John and Charles Wesley, founders of the Methodist Church, that when she needed to pray in their one-room house and needed alone time, she would just take her apron and flip it over her head. And that was how she found alone time. In our houses today, I think mothers go and close the bathroom door so that little fingers can reach under the bottom of the door. But mothers have an important place in teaching that idea of faith. Some of the most interesting conversations I had about God and faith growing up were with my mother. She did not tolerate fools gladly. When we were sometimes instructed with things at a Sunday school class that were not right or did not make any sense, Mom would make sure that we understood truth and righteousness and right from wrong. And she was always very quick to help us think through things. The phrase, "explain yourself to me," was one of her phrases that she used. And it was always to be followed by actual words, not, I would hear the phrase, is not a word. By the way, when you are 8 years old and in third grade and you tell your teacher, is not a word, they are not impressed. Just point that out, you know. But that's what my mom says when we say that a lot. So, what does a mom do? How does a mom handle it? The first thing this prayer of Hannah says is, "I praise the Lord." She says, "My heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth speaks boldly against my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation." On the Charlie Brown cartoons, when they televised them, they needed a sound to make for when adults were talking but not being listened to. Womp, 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 womp. My mother never sounded an uncertain note. She never said, "womp, womp, womp." She said things clearly and distinctly and had the strange expectation that we would listen to her. Carolyn Medeiros has a t-shirt that says, "She who must be obeyed." My mother did not have the t-shirt, but she lived that life. So, I don't know which one of the family got that for her, but that's a great t-shirt, you know. So, Hannah said, "There's no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there's no one beside you." There is the need for parents to express to our children, not just by words, but by words and by actions and by lifestyle, what we believe about God, where we stand with God, who God is to us. So often, I hear children and grandchildren talking about their parents' or their grandparents' God without any kind of real connection of understanding that their God is my God. And that we need to have that kind of reverence and faith and awe of the power and presence of God. And that's what we explain and share and tell. In the Jewish culture, when they heard the shofar, the horn, They'd recognize that it was time to gather for worship. And Hannah says, "My horn exalts the Lord. I give forth the trumpet sound of the call to worship. I learned about worship sitting next to my mother in church. I learned that you cannot listen if your mouth is working. I learned that you cannot participate if you're doing something else. I learned that it was wrong for my dad to go to sleep during worship. Moms have a role in teaching their children about God." And then she describes how the Lord works powerfully. She says, "Do not be arrogant, because God is going to strengthen the weary, strengthen the feeble. God is going to exchange the places, that those who once were hungry are going to be filled, and that those who have been filled will be hungry. That God can take and change the circumstances of our lives in just an instant." One of our neighbors is now homeless because his home burned yesterday. And in an instant, the tides of life change. Get a call. We've rushed them to the hospital. And life has changed. You see, God is powerful because God holds that kind of power in His hands to lift up the fallen or to bring down the mighty, to fulfill and satisfy the hungry, or to deprive the wealthy. God has that kind of power. And Hannah has here recognized God's power to completely change her life around. Young mother calls her mother when the baby's about 6 weeks old. And she says, "I'm not getting any sleep. I'm up and down all the time. The baby cries. Every time I want to do something, the baby has needs. When does life get back to normal?" And her mother says, "Honey, this is normal. You have a new normal. And God makes new normals." God works powerfully. He brings to death and He rises up. God has that power. And then Hannah prays about the victory of the Lord. "He keeps the feet of His godly ones, but the wicked ones are silenced in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. Those who contend with the Lord will be shattered. Against them He will thunder in the heavens. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth, and He will give strength to His king and will exalt the horn of His anointed." And all of a sudden we have a messianic prophecy from an Old Testament mom in her prayer that God will lift up the horn of His anointed, His Messiah, of His chosen one. He says, "Not by might shall a man prevail, and those who fight God are shattered." There is a sense of trust in God that Hannah wants to be her legacy to her son. Her son, by the way, was named Samuel. He kind of had a key part in the history of Israel. And he learned at the knee of his mother how to trust in God to be victorious would ever be. Years later, Samuel would anoint Saul as king of Israel, and it did not work out well. So David came. Samuel is called to come and anoint David. And they didn't expect him. David's own father did not expect him to be the one who was chosen. But he was the one chosen and became the greatest king in all of Israel's history, united the kingdom and won the freedom and took Jerusalem and did tremendous work for God. And no one expected that to happen. But in spite of setback after setback after setback, Saul's failure, David's inability apparently to do anything, here comes God working through him to make a difference, and God was victorious. God brings it about to be right. Trusting God is something that doesn't just happen when things are going well. Trusting in God happens when things are going terribly. We trust God when it's a struggle to. When we're on the ash heap or in the trash heap, here comes God to lift us up and set us free. And make us victorious. Hannah had that kind of faith and trust in God. And her prayer is not about the child. Her prayer is about God. And moms, if we want to make a difference in how things are working out for our kids, make sure that they understand who God is. And God will work out the rest with them. As moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas, it is vital that we both live and verbally share the place of God in who we are and what we believe. Let's pray together. Lord, touch our hearts, touch our lives. Help us to make a real difference in our families and in our church. Help us to trust that you will be powerfully victorious in everything we do. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. What is your Mother's Day prayer? Certainly to bless and care for our moms. But how about that your children and grandchildren come to know, to love, and to trust the Lord? The song we're going to sing is about surrender. And sometimes surrender, it's not surrender in the sense of giving up. It's surrender in the sense of I yield to a God who is greater than I am, that God would do His work as He sees fit, and I choose to serve Him because He is worthy as God. What is your prayer on Mother's Day? As we stand together and sing, You Come.
I'm giving you my heart and all that is within. I lay it all down for the sake of you, my King. I'm giving you my dreams. I'm laying down my rights. I'm giving up my pride for the promise of no life. And I I surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you, all to you. I'm singing you this song. I'm waiting at the cross, and all the world talks here. I count it all as loss for the sake of knowing you, the glory of your name, to know the lasting joy, even sharing in your pain. And I surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you, all to you.
You sing it, Jackson. You go, bro. I'm glad you're here today. Happy Mother's Day. Hope you enjoy your times with your families today. Let's pray together. Kathy, would you pray for us, please?